Thank you, Bell Choir. They did wonderfully in the first service and again blessing us second time. That was a beautiful, beautiful piece of music, truly was. Glad to see everyone in the church. Today, this is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know if you noticed, we have new projector here. The picture is brighter and more sharp and clean. And when we were looking around, the old one was getting out of shape. And at least we can say that. And we start looking the new one. And Mary, being technical person, she located this one. And the company advertised this one by saying that if you buy this projector, it will give your church better singing and better preaching. I said, Mary, we have to order it at once, right away. Let's place an order. So you just watch it and listen to it and see if it helps us or not. I mean the projector. I don't know if it makes all that big difference, but anyway, it's nicer and picture is better. So we are about to start. Well, we have started already our journey. We call it stewardship in the life of Berea UMC, like every church this time of year. We are looking to get guidance for a good stewardship, the good stewardship from the Lord. And this first Sunday, we are talking about how to serve others. Of course, today is also Reformation Sunday. It's a big Sunday in the Christianity. You know, 1517, this German Catholic, Roman Catholic monk, his name was Martin Luther, wasn't happy about his church at that time. Let me emphasize the word at that time. So he decided to nail 95 theses, complaints, grievances about his church to the most public and prominent place to advertise anything, which in Germany was the Gassel Church of the Wittenberg, excuse me. And that's where he posts them. It is like a comparable, if you don't like your church, you go ahead and go on internet and post everything you don't like about your church. And I promise to you, by the evening, everybody, millions or hundreds of thousands of people know what you don't like about your church. So it's the same thing, same action, same purpose, and it sure was the beginning of Christian Reformation. I'm not preaching about that today, but what is the bridge between our topic today is that in Luther's thinking, talking about Martin Luther, the reformer, in his thinking, God operates, God works in two different regiments to build his kingdom, okay? One is spiritual regiment, which is church and preaching and sacraments and service. And the other regiment is earthly regiment, including law and order. Law and order. But in his thinking, God is above both of these regiments for good reason, to empower his kingdom enterprise. And again, in his thinking, stewardship is kind of heart of Christianity. First, spiritual stewardship. In the first service, when I have my moments for our teens, one of them said, when I asked them to list, what is stewardship to you? What stewardship means to you? She said, prayer, I believe, is one of the biggest stewardship we can do as Christians. She nailed it, because it is. It is part of the spiritual regiment. So it makes us Christians that we pray, and by praying we serve others. But it is all about stewardship, placing ourselves in the position where we quit thinking about ourselves all the time, and we start thinking about others. How? By serving others. Let's get a little bit deeper on this. Our epistle reading in 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Okay? To serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace, it is in its various forms, in different forms. You serve others if you've been given gifts, and we all have been given. In this example, I believe, good stewardship means using your gifts to serve others. To serve others. And then the writer, which is Peter in this case, continues as he's listing different ways you could serve others by saying, this is continuing verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So we are serving others by the strength God provides, not in our own strength, because we run out of fuel very easy. What did Jesus say about serving others? He said we all should learn from him who came down here not to be served, but to serve. Okay. If anyone would be titled to expect services from others, it is Jesus. So it doesn't matter really what your rank, in quotation mark, rank is in the ministry. You must learn to serve others first. Now, many times we Christians, we church members, get this other way around. We are evaluating our church, how well they are serving my needs. Instead of seeing your church as an opportunity for greater missions by getting involved, by serving others, to build something that will help the kingdom enterprise to our church. The higher rank, the more you need to serve, following Jesus' example. We were all created differently and given different abilities. We all understand that. We all different. And that's the whole plan. Some of us are better at encouragement. By the way, encouragement is a wonderful gift, isn't it, in the life of the church. Encouragement. I always admire people who encourage. When they show up, even the atmosphere may be a little gloomy and pessimistic and negative. When these encouragers show up, all of a sudden they are able to change the whole tune of your gathering. And they start pointing us to totally much better direction. And before too long, we realize, hey, we are in the middle of great opportunities here. Encouragement, while others possess the gift of teaching. Both are needed in the life of the church. And there are other, many, many other gifts, very many other gifts needed in the life of service. And very seldom, never, a person have all the gifts what God can give. But God has given his gifts to many people to build his church by serving. No matter what you have been given, it is important to use these gifts to help others to grow, to help others around you, other people around you. Maybe if you are thinking about who is sitting next to you, to help him or help her to grow in their discipleship. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. All that matters is that you start using it, little by little. You know, I was one time, long time ago, in Amsterdam, in Holland, or Netherlands, and there was Billy Graham's crusade about to start, and there's training for pastors, and at that time I was serving on the team from Finland, and we were attending that seminar. And he's an incredible speaker, as we know, the late Billy Graham. And then he was asked by the reporter, who was very nosy and not very polite and very critical and And well, maybe that's what the reporters need to be. But anyway, she was doing her job well. She said, Mr. Graham, how do you believe that you are the only person, preacher in the world, who can run crusades this size with this budget? What makes you believe that you are the only one in the world who can do something like this? That was a weird question. Billy Graham was totally calm, of course, being through with all kinds of questions. He said, no, that is not thinking I have. I had never thought that way at all. At all. As a matter of fact, he said, I am just an average preacher when it comes to my gifts and talents. There are much better and more talented preachers everywhere than I am. But I can't answer for them. I can answer only for myself that when God called me, I was smart enough to say yes to him. And this is what I've been doing now. Again, this looks different for different people like you and I. But if you have been given a certain skill, then there is probably an area that skill can be used in this world, in this church, or in Christian ministry. Here's the story. Years ago, a man in the church where I was serving came to me after one Sunday stewardship Sunday service. And this brother was always a little sour. You know what sour means? If you tell me that I am sour, I don't think it makes me happy. If I tell you you are a sour personality, I don't think I am making you all that happy. This brother was sour, and I knew it, and everybody knew it. So one Sunday he walked to me after stewardship Sunday service, and he said, Reverend, I have heard all that, what was just brought in through this service, thousands of times. I have learned it, I have heard it, and I know it, so there's nothing, excuse me, nothing new about it. And I said, well, that's wonderful. You just do the easiest part. You just practice what you have already learned. Go and practice it. And everyone, including myself, knew that this man did not practice what he has already learned and heard thousands of times. Vice versa, he was most of the time sitting on the sideline, evaluating how well people were serving and giving them points, but he didn't get involved at all. Instead, he was sitting on the sideline. That's a very sad place, by the way, to be. What we are saying here, based on Jesus' words this morning, we have been called to serve others out of love and humility. Out of love and humility. Serving others can be built on the principle of love and humility, following the example of Jesus. That is just how simple it is. Jesus says, I set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Remember, after washing his disciples' feet. That was a visible sign of humbleness. There's much more humbleness about Jesus. But that was a visible sign of humbleness by washing his followers' feet as a son of God. True service is selfless, using one's God's given gifts to help others as a way to sow love in action. Not for personal gain, but it is loving action. Many times you have heard me say that when we pray here, I believe prayer is the highest level of love you can express to anybody. Because you put everything else aside, you quit thinking about yourself, even you have matters to pray for, and then you start praying for somebody else. Prayer is stewardship, and prayer is service as well. We serve others out of sincere love, especially in the church. Treating others with dignity and recognizing that serving others is, in effect, serving God himself. That's the only motivation for our service in the church. again, let's please understand that your service should come out of from a place of love, not desire for status or recognition, but love as Christ loved you. I would like to emphasize this a little bit more by saying, did you know that service is love in action? Service is loving action. Serving others is the practical and tangible expression of love for God and your neighbor. Neighbor is anybody around you, not just somebody living next door to you. A sincere attitude is more important than the task itself. There's no little task in the church. There's no too big task in the church by the help of God. Work heartily, not hardly, but work heartily from your heart, as if you are doing it for the Lord Himself, because you are. Here's another story. Years ago, I got a phone call from my DS, which is district superintendent in our United Methodist category. He called me and he asked me to do a favor for him. It was this time of year, it was late November, as a matter of fact, and he asked me to run a church conference for him. He said, Timo, I have scheduled 3 conferences next Sunday. I just learned that one in the middle, the second one, is going to be much longer than I thought. There are something that church wants to discuss and probably vote for, so I'm anticipating it takes much longer time. And I think I am running out of time, so could you please lead the church conference in that third one? And I said, yeah, I can do it. I didn't have anything else on Sunday night, so I can do it for you, which I did. So that church was a little distance away from the church where I was serving. As I drove to that church and I pulled in the parking lot, it was late November, windy, kind of dark, Sunday afternoon, late afternoon. It was probably 4:45. I was there early to make sure I can meet with the pastor and the other leaders to chat a little bit about the church conference and so forth, getting all the papers lined up. So there's one car on the parking lot as I pull in. And there is a gentleman, elderly man, cleaning the church steps, brooming from all the sleeves. And he had turned the lights on. So it looked welcoming to me, even though there's one person. So I get my stuff and walk by, and I greeted him, and I said, introduced myself who I was, and I'm here to represent thee as I'm going to run the church conference for you. I wanted to come a little early to make sure that I can talk to your pastor and everybody else there. And he said, yes, they should be here anytime. And he said, well, I thank him. I said, thank you so much for making everything looking so welcoming. He said, well, I do this. I don't have anything else to do. My wife died 4 years ago, and I'm just by myself. All our kids are grown up, and they're out of nest. So this is, I'd be happy to do that. And we chat a little while, and again, I thank him for what he was doing. So I walk inside, and pastor came soon in, and one by one, the other lay leaders. And so we started out, before starting a conference, I said, the pastor, I met a nice, friendly man, welcoming man at the doorstep, and doing and cleaning the environment and so forth. And what a nice man. He said, he sure is. He's a lifelong member of this church. As a matter of fact, his wife was also a member. And he said, confirmed that his wife died 4 years ago. He said, this man is retired from, he's been prominent community leader as well. He's been CEO for the bank here, local bank, with 3 branches. And he oversaw all this, years and years of work. And he's been part of any different building projects in town. Everybody respect him. Everybody know him. If you say his name, everybody say something very, very respectful about him. And he's a member of this church. And he has served on every single committee I can imagine, except he had never been a pastor of the church. He's a great man. And when I learned all this, I thought, what a humble, humble God's servant. Humble God's servant. He sold the keys that the church has trusted him. So he can come in any time. He said, Pastor, call me sometimes. And can you go and take it out? I'm bothering if lights were on, something. And he said, I live close by the church. So I go there all the time. What a humble God's servant. What a big heart for service. When you serve others, you are serving Jesus himself, as he said. As you did it to other people, others of these, least of these, my brothers and sisters, excuse me, you did it to me. You did it to me. Matthew 25, 40. Serving others can lead to greater happiness and focusing less on yourself. Greater happiness. Let me ask you this. Are you longing for greater happiness in your membership, in your service? And then using your gifts to serve others brings glory to God, as Jesus says. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deed and glory your Father in heaven. So my last question before we pray this morning is, you wonder how to serve others. You say, Timo, people are so private today. I want to stick my nose in everybody's business. I hesitate to ask anything. I don't want to be offending anybody. Listen to this. Like anything else, your service will start with prayer. Pray God's guidance and leadership for you to bless others, even when you have your own difficulties to deal with. Namely, many times we say, well, when I have settled all my problems first and my struggles when I'm struggling, maybe then I have time to serve others. Listen, we all know that having problems is an endless thing, am I right? Once you resolve one, the other one is knocking at the door already. There's no end to it. Because this is what the world is all about. We are in this world of problems and struggles, illnesses, weaknesses, things that bother us. It's the world, it's the name of the game, so to speak. Don't wait till you are perfect, till you are ready, because you will die before that. Start serving in the capacity what you have today. Who you serve? Serve others. Forget yourself for a moment. Start from something little. From something little. Serve others as you serve yourself. Sometimes we have developed wonderful way to serve ourselves. Forget yourself for a moment. Start extending your thoughts and actions from yourself to others. And it will make a big difference in your life. Who are included? Those who are different from you, or even those who are difficult to love. Well, thank goodness we don't have anybody in the Berea UMC who are difficult to love, am I right? Nobody. But there may be somebody out there in the community. Help those who are in need of any kind, such as, hungry, thirsty, homeless, sick, recognizing that people need help if you are open to help. I'm thankful to you, church family, for providing that community pastor's fund to deal with people in their needs at the door. And I'm telling you, that would be the easiest place to be a greatest prophet and the most righteous person in the community, and giving you a great opportunity to preach to people how bad they are doing, how badly they screw up in this life. That wouldn't be the place to serve. That would be a place to judge. People are expecting to be served there when they struggle at pretty much any level of their life. So what you do, you try to help where you can. You try to keep a one good and straightforward impact for these people by loving them, by serving them with the needs and resources you have. Now, you can serve with resources you don't have. And you can use people that you do not have. But you can make a big difference with resources you have if your heart is in the right place. And thank you for that pastor's fund or community fund, emergency fund, called different but the same thing, to channel help for those. But it is not the only thing we do. I'm looking at you, my friend, to be example for service, something to take home today. And here's what I pray, I really pray, that our church, Berea UMC, will be and will grow big in serving others, and that you, my friend, would be leading us how to do it better. You would be showing us an example how to do it better, how to be a better servant in this world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the ushers can come forward at this time, we pray together for the ministry of giving.